Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Benjamin Franklin wrote that there is nothing certain except death and taxes. But at what rate should we be taxed? And does the Bible speak about this? Death. One of the things that we actually say quite often is that the Bible speaks to every area of life, your personal life, your family. Most people acknowledge that. Your church and the church at large, most people acknowledge that. But the Bible also speaks to the government, local, state, and federal. And we're going to look at the Bible and we're going to see what God says about taxation, and we're going to see at what level God defines tyranny. Certainly, many people this time of year have either filed their taxes or are preparing to. Maybe you have filed, or maybe you're preparing to. Maybe you're going to file an extension. But taxes are something that we have to deal with. And one of the things we see in America, if you've listened to some of our other sermons, we just recently talked about property tax and whether the state of Florida should abolish property tax. One of the things that's clear is that we are taxed too much. In fact, the Tea Party, the modern Tea Party, stands for taxed enough already. And that actually started in shortly after 2008 and 2009 as people really were rising up and saying, hey, listen, we're taxed enough already. And of course, it's a reference to the Boston Tea Party, where people in the founding era actually went on to a ship and took tea and threw it into the ocean or to the harbor there, so that the water would, or the, so that the tea would actually be ruined by the water. And they did that because there was a tax on tea. In fact, the reason if you drink coffee today instead of tea, the reason you drink coffee instead of tea very likely is because so many people turned against tea because of that taxation without representation, and coffee became the choice of beverage. But when we look at this, again, we're going to look at this through biblical principles. And we're going to look through this from the lens of the Bible. Really, we want to develop a biblical worldview. I would encourage you, I do encourage you, to read the Bible, to read it from cover to cover. In fact, I would encourage you to read the Bible every year, at least every year, and to be thinking about it, to be meditating upon it. And by the way, you don't just have to read the Bible today. There's so many other ways that we can partake in the Bible. You can actually listen to it. You could even listen to it while you're driving to work, or as you're driving home, while you're preparing food, as you're doing chores around the house. That we have apps on smartphones that are able to read us the Bible. And many of these are actually free, completely free. And so you have the Bible in so many different ways. But what we're looking at here, again, we're going to look at the Bible. I want to encourage you to develop a biblical worldview and apply the principles of the Bible to every area here again of life, including government. Certainly including your life, including your family, but also including your church and including our cities, our states, our nation, and all the nations of the earth as well. So when we look at taxes, one of the things we see is that God actually requires of us 10%. This is called a tithe. You see this in the Bible. It actually predates the law of God in Genesis chapter 14, beginning in verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, blessed Abram, and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, that is Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all. So Abram paid a tithe to Melchizedek, who was priest of God Most High. Melchizedek is an interesting character in the Bible. He is said to have no beginning and no end. And because of that, many people believe that he was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. But whether he was or not, Abram paid a tithe, and a tithe was 10%. Israel, God raised up the nation, and you know that God actually promised to make of Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham and said that his seed would be as multiple, that his seed would multiply on the earth, and that if he could count the sand on the seashore, he could count his children. If he could count the stars in the sky, that he would be able to count his children, that there would be many children and nations would actually come from him. And of course, the predominant nation that came from Abraham was the nation of Israel. And Israel did not have a king initially. God didn't create Israel to have a king. He created them to be governed by him and to also self-govern, to actually apply the law of God to their own lives, to their families, to teach the law of God to their children, so that really you wouldn't have to have a government. And what they actually had is, again, self-government. When there was a war, the people that were of fighting age would go to war. There were certain requirements, and you can see in the Bible, if someone was afraid, if someone had just gotten married, if someone had just built a house and hadn't lived in it, or there were certain conditions where people would stay home, but everyone else that was able-bodied would go to war. But the children of Israel are saying, hey, you know what? We don't really like this idea of doing everything for ourselves. We want to have a king like the nations and all the nations of the earth, and that king can actually go out and fight for us so that we don't have to fight for ourselves. And so you see, God warns, and they ask for a king from Samuel, and God warns Samuel and tells Samuel to warn them of the behavior of a king. And we find this in 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, reading through verse 20. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them over his chariots to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties, set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your field, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and he will give them to his servants. Now, he will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants, and you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.'" And so you see that the warning there is that a king will take a tenth. We saw earlier that the tithe is a tenth, and Abram paid a tithe before his name was changed to Abraham, paid a tenth or a tithe to Melchizedek, and that represents what God requires of us. God requires a tithe. And, you know, as we mentioned recently also, this tithe was not only to be used, and there were different tithes, and they were used for different purposes, but the tithe was to be used not only for the maintenance of the priest and their families, and the maintenance of the sanctuary, or the tabernacle, or eventually the temple, but also the tithe, a certain portion of the tithe was to actually to be eaten by the people. And then another portion of the tithe was to actually be used for alms, to help out the widows and the orphans, those who couldn't help themselves. Because in the biblical justice system, in the biblical orphan of mercy, people, there were actually provisions in there for people to work and to actually glean grain after the grain was harvested. They were actually instructed not to reap the corners of their field and not to go back a second time to reap again. And if they dropped some grain, to leave it there for the poor. But the poor weren't just handed the food. They were to go out and to actually work for it. But widows and orphans, those who couldn't take care of themselves, part of the tithe was to go to them. But again, God requires 10%. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we see the definition of tyranny is 10%. So any government that requires as much of you as God requires of you is, by definition, by biblical definition, in my opinion, based on 1 Samuel chapter 8, a tyrannical government. Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac said this: "It would be a hard government that should tax its people one-tenth part of their income." So just think, at the founding of this country, it was thought absurd that a government would tax its people one-tenth of their income. Yet today, look at taxes today. We have so many taxes, and we're talking, you know, one of the things we're talking about today is income tax. And with income tax, you have actually your tax on your personal income. And then you have actually a tax for Medicare, which you're putting money in. If you're of working age, you're putting money in, and that money is being used for medical expenses of seniors. And they put money in when they were younger as well. Then you also have Social Security. You're putting money in. That money is going to seniors. And, of course, unless something, some changes happen to that system, really not going to be enough money by the time I retire. Maybe by the time you retire, there may not be enough money, depending on how old you are. And there's risk of running out of money in Social Security. But you also have other types of taxes, some of which the employee doesn't pay, but the employer pays. And, of course, this is the employer knows when they offer a certain amount of money, they know that it's going to cost them more money than that, because the amount that you pay for Social Security, the amount that you pay for Medicare, that your employer actually has to pay even more than that. And then you also have, in addition to that, you also have Medicaid that is paid, and you have unemployment tax. There's federal unemployment tax, and in many areas there's also state unemployment tax. And so that's just one type of tax. But then there's also property tax. And again, a few weeks ago, for 2 weeks, we covered property tax. If you missed those sermons, you can actually get those on our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church YouTube channel. We also have links on our Facebook Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. You can go there and you can look for those sermons. You can watch them. But property tax is not a just and a biblical method of taxation. It does steal property rights. If you don't pay your property tax of a homestead property, it won't be taken while you live there. But if you move or if you die, that property tax will have to be paid or the property will be lost. If you don't, if the property is not homesteaded, and you don't pay your property tax, maybe you can't pay your property tax. There are people that can't pay property tax, or they don't have enough money to pay property tax. They actually lose that property. So it actually steals inheritance. God has designed for people to be able to pass on an inheritance to their children and their children's children. And yet, property tax actually takes away that. Now, you also think about other types of taxation that you have. And by the way, on property tax, look at your property tax bill. And this happens in the state of Florida. It happens in the early fall. You'll actually get a statement or a bill, basically. It's not really a bill, but it's a layout of the proposed taxes. Look at how many agencies are on there. How many agencies are getting money? Not only do you have your common city and county taxes, depending on where you live, but you also are going to have school board, unless you live in a 55 and over community in the state of Florida. You also are going to have the fire department on there. You're going to have the mosquito control. You're going to have the fish and wildlife. You're going to have all kinds of different taxing districts that are on there collecting money, a whole bunch of different people, some of them unelected. And really, in that case, hey, it's taxation without representation if they're not elected. So you see this type of thing happening. Then look at your power bill. Your power bill includes taxes. And look at your cell phone bill. Or if you have a landline, look at that bill. If you have cable TV, look at that bill. There are taxes. The amount that you're told, hey, this is going to cost you this much. Then you get the bill and it's more money. Why? Because there's taxes on that. When you go to the gas pump and you stick that gas nozzle into your gas tank and you start pumping gas, unless you have an electric vehicle, you're paying taxes. By the way, even if you have an electric vehicle, you're paying other types of tax, not gas taxes, but you're paying other types of taxes. The fuel tax is actually supposed to be for repairing the roads and for building roads. And quite often we have other types of taxes that cover that. In the state of Florida and certain areas in my county, there's actually voters passed a half-cent sales tax to go for roads, even though we still pay taxes when we pump gas. I mean, it would be one thing if they said, hey, instead of taxing you this way, we're going to tax you this way. And this is going to replace that type of tax. No, it's just additional tax. You also have other types of tax. If you have city water and sewer, that's technically not a tax, but really, virtually it is, because the actual monies, municipalities that provide that service actually make money on that. So it is a tax. You pay tax when you actually have a driver's license. You pay tax to register a car. And if you are registering that car for the first time, they really sock it to you. Why do they sock it to you? Well, probably you just moved from another state, and they can, and they know you can't vote them out yet. And even if you could vote, or you will be able to vote, there's only a small percentage of people that are paying that, because most people already have a car. They've already registered that vehicle, and then they can take that over to someone else. So there's so many different ways that you actually pay taxes. Many times we don't realize how much we pay and taxes. And when we look just at federal income tax, certainly there are some people that don't pay federal income tax. They get back more than what they put in. And then there are other people that do pay taxes, percentages. Some of them are paying 35%. And there are also some states that have state income tax. And then there are some cities that also have city income tax. In addition to that, in many states, there's also a state tax. And then there's an estate tax, which also steals inheritance. And so all of these forms of taxes, they total up to more, much more for most people. If you're actually productive, if you're working, if you're industrious, if God has blessed you with knowledge to be able to actually go out and earn a living, and you've applied those blessings, and you've worked hard so that you're rewarded either working for someone else, another company or an employer, or maybe even having your own business, many people are paying much more than 10%. Imagine a government, a state, federal, local, state, and federal government, your total tax burden equaling less than 10% of your income. That's really what God would say is just. When we think about taxes, one of the things we need to look at is, first of all, we need to look at the Ten Commandments. And the eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. Let's say you're at an ATM machine, and this does happen sometimes, and you're getting money out of the ATM machine, and someone comes up with a gun, and they take your money. That's stealing, and hopefully that person will get caught. Hopefully you won't get shot, and hopefully that hasn't happened to you. But if it does happen, then hopefully that person gets arrested. And, you know, we talked actually last week about what should happen when people steal. And biblically, they should make at least double restitution, because you're out that money, and you're out time even and effort in dealing with the prosecution and all of that. And in certain cases, we see biblically, you know, there's even four and fivefold restitution that is made biblically, according to biblical standards. But in today's society, what's going to happen is the person goes to jail, that the person that was stolen from pays tax dollars along with other people to keep that person in jail, to house them, feed them, give them medical care, dental care. Again, it might not be the best of all of those, but it still is care. But if the government comes up to you and says, hey, give me your money, and takes it, and then they give it to someone else, well, that's taxes, and the government is able to do that. But it's still stealing. You also have the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And you might think, well, how does that apply to stealing? Well, there's a certain portion of your life that actually is invested in whatever it was. Maybe it's $20, maybe it's $200, maybe it's $1,000. Whatever it is, it's taken. It took you a certain period of your time, your work, your effort to get that wealth, and that represents a certain portion of your life. Then there's also the 10th commandment that says, you shall not covet. So we're not supposed to covet what other people have. We're not supposed to desire what they have. We're supposed to be industrious ourselves, to thank God that they have what they have, to in fact rejoice that they have what they have, but not to desire what they have. If we desire to have the same things, then we need to actually ask God to give us wisdom on how to make money and go out and work and be industrious. Also, if the government is going to get down to the place where our total tax burden is less than 10%, then what's going to have to happen is the government is going to have to do less for us, and we're going to have to do more. We're going to need to be self-governing rather than looking for the messianic state, a government that would be the Messiah. We need to actually do for ourselves what we can do, and also show benevolence and help out others to do for them what they can't do as well, to actually show charity and to help them out. We need to actually call for the government to cut out some of these programs that do provide mercy. The Bible does not authorize the government to be involved in mercy ministries. We need to call for a smaller government, local, state, and federal, and do for ourselves what we can't do, what we can do, and help others do what they can't do. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Father, that you would help us to apply your principles, your biblical principles to every area of life, including our personal life, our family life, our church, and also the government, the local government, the state government, and the federal government. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, when the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad, when the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law, when the fullness of the Gentiles come and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
I got to tell you, I'm over here visiting from over in the Hudson on the east, on the west coast, and I'm over here visiting some people and friends and family. This is one awesome radio station. We don't have a station like this over there. Well, we got the two commercialized, but you guys are awesome. I just wanted to let you know you're blowing my mind. I love this station. God bless all of you. Thank you. Bye.
Deep as the ocean, right as a rain, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plain. It's taking me to places I'd never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. When the road is winding way too long, you deliver me. You deliver me. Yeah. Oh. I feel like a sinner. Sins have been washed clean. An absolute beginner whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven for sometimes asking why I was chosen by.